I would like us this morning to consider the words of verse 15, Mark chapter 5 and verse 15. And they come to Jesus, that is, the people of the city and the country round about, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. What did they find when they came that day? They found this man of Gadara sitting and clothed and in his right mind. What was their reaction? We are told they were afraid. There can be no doubt that the worst case of demon possession that the Lord Jesus ever encountered was found in the land of Gadara. For according to the gospel records, there are 5 separate references to the Lord meeting with and healing those who had been possessed of devils and evil spirits. Let me give them to you very briefly. First of all, Matthew 4 and verse 24. The Lord has scarcely begun his ministry. We read, they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils. Then we have the words, and he healed them. And once again in Matthew we read, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Matthew 8 and verse 16. Once again in Matthew, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. Matthew 9, verses 32 and 33. One more reference. Then was brought on to him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Matthew 12, verse 22. 4 references given of the Lord Jesus confronting those who were possessed with devils. There are a number of things we would like to note about those references. They all teach us a number of things about the Lord Jesus. They all teach us about the approachableness of the Lord. There were those who were brought to him who had diverse diseases and were possessed of devils. The Lord Jesus did not turn one of them away. All who brought the sick and those that were possessed to the Lord Jesus, Christ was not only approachable, but Christ accepted them all. He received every one of them. Whatever their plight was, whatever their need was, the Lord Jesus accepted them all. And they were all able to approach the Lord. What an encouragement this is for sinners. That the Lord Jesus, will receive all who come to him. No matter how far down and out a sinner is, they are confident, they may feel confident that they're able to approach the Lord. So the Lord is approachable. And the Lord is pleased to accept all who come to him. And we noted something else in those people, that the Lord healed every one of them. There wasn't one that wasn't healed. Not one. And here we have then the ability of the Lord. The Lord's ability to heal and indeed to save all who come to him. There is then a fifth reference to demon possession in the Gospels. And it is here, in the passage of Scripture we have read. And here we have the Lord delivering the man of Gadara, who was possessed of the devil, yea, a legion of demons. And once again, he healed this man of Gadara. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Five references. The demon possession in Scripture. And five we know as the number of grace. And then according to the grace of the Lord Jesus, he healed and delivered everyone who was possessed of the devil. There's something that is different from the healing of the man of Gadara and all the others that we read about. Because in the four references we gave from Matthew's Gospel, we find that those who were possessed of devils were brought to the Lord Jesus by others. In those four references we read that people brought those who were possessed to the Lord. But in the healing of the man of Gadara, no one brought him to Christ. On this occasion, the Lord Jesus went to the man of Gadara. This teaches us a number of things. It teaches us about the love that the Lord Jesus has for poor, lost souls. That the Lord Jesus was prepared to leave the shores of Galilee and cross over the Sea of Galilee to Gadara. When you stand in Galilee or Tiberias and look across the sea, you can see the hills of Gadara on the other side. And the Lord Jesus was prepared to, with his disciples, go into the ship and cross over to the other side. He was prepared to go through that storm and reach the other side and heal the man of Gadara, and that was the only time that Christ visited the land of Gadara. He's never back again. He paid a once-only visit to Gadara to reach one soul. And this speaks to us of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love that he has for souls and for individuals. For individual souls that have individual and personal needs, Christ is interested. He was prepared to make that journey. Of course, the Lord made an even greater journey. when they left the ivory palaces of glory and came into this world. And as he crossed over Galilee and went through a storm to reach Legion, the Lord Jesus coming into this world to reach us necessitated him going through another storm. The greatest storm that ever raged at Calvary. Christ was prepared to go through that storm in order that he might reach your soul and mine. But there's something else here that I find quite remarkable. When the man of Gadara saw the Lord Jesus, when the Lord and his disciples arrived in the shores of Gadara, and this man saw him, we're told in verse 6, and when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. You say, well, what's remarkable about that? For me, the remarkable thing is this, that this man was possessed of a legion of devils. And you recall last week we said a legion was 6,000 men. And so here is a man who's possessed of a legion of demons. But when he saw Christ, it didn't matter if he was possessed of 10 legions of demons. Such was the drawing power of Christ. He still would have come to Christ. That's the drawing power of the Savior. Legion was possessed of many demons. Saw Christ. Nothing could hold him back. Such is the drawing power of the Lord Jesus. The man saw Jesus and was drawn to him. May we today, through this passage of Scripture, also see the Lord Jesus, and may we be drawn to him. So let us look at what the Lord Jesus did for this man. Because what the Lord did for this man, he has done for us. And the chains that was wrought in this man is the chains that the Lord has wrought in our lives. And my prayer is that the chains that was seen by others in this man's life, may that change be seen in us also. One, first of all, to consider the sitting of this man of Gadara and his Savior. For we read in our text, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, and they saw him sitting. While he was in the tombs, he was under the control of a different master. When he came to Christ, of course, he was under new ownership. And under Christ, he was sitting there. But when he served the God of this world, he was a man who had no rest and no peace. A master from hell who was determined and was succeeding to lead this man's life into wreck and ruin. Because when the Lord arrived in the shores of Gadara, he found a man who was homeless. For it says in verse 2, And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He met him out of the tombs. The words here mean he had settled down. The tombs was his permanent abode. That's what the word means. He had settled down. He had made his home in the tombs. He didn't have a proper dwelling place. He was homeless. In the truest sense of the word, he was down, he was out. He was down in the tombs and he was out of his own dwelling house. When the Lord Jesus met him, he was not only a man who was homeless, he was a man who was helpless. Wasn't a thing he could do to help himself. Just like ourselves. In our sin, there wasn't a thing we could do to help ourselves. Just as bad as legion. Just as helpless as legion. Just as bankrupt as legion. The Lord met a homeless man and a helpless man and a hopeless man. Look at the plight of this poor individual. Verse 3, and he had his dwelling among the tombs and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was without hope. He was without hope. He couldn't help himself. And there wasn't a man in the city or the country who could help him either. Oh, they had done their best. But his state, his plight was hopeless until Jesus came. So it was with each one of us. Our plight was helpless and hopeless. We were without God and without hope in this world or the world to come until Jesus came. And he's the one who's able to give a home to the hopeless or the homeless. And he's able to give help to the helpless and he's able to give hope to the hopeless. And thank God we now have a home. It's that home that's fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And we have hope now. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. When the people from that area came out to see what was done, saw him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The first thing they noticed about this man was that he was in a position of rest. Being seated, he was at a restful position. Here we have the great contrast. Before he met the Lord, he had no rest, day or night. Verse 5, and always, night and day, was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Luke tells us he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Now the devil has succeeded in driving many a soul into the wilderness. that in the wilderness of sin, that in the wilderness of debauchery, that in the wilderness of iniquity, and the devil has succeeded in their lives. He was like those of whom Isaiah spoke. The wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And there was no peace for this poor soul. He was like the troubled sea, no rest. Legion had no rest, and he had no peace until he met the Master. Dear child of God, surely you and I can see the great contrast, the great difference in our lives now and to what they used to be. We remember those nights when we had no peace. We remember those days when our conscience troubled us so that we could hardly sleep. No rest, no peace. That's the plight of the wicked. We're like the troubled sea. That is, until the Lord Jesus came. When the Lord Jesus came to Legion and healed him, there was a great calm. He's sitting now. He's calm. He's peaceful. He's at rest. He's met the Master. The man who for a long time had been tormented by the devil was now sitting and was perfectly calm. And here is the peace, here's the calmness that only Christ can give. John 14, verse 27, the Lord says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." My legion that day had the peace of God in his heart. The Lord had given him his peace. And believer, that's what we have in our hearts today. We have the peace of God. The peace that was bought for us through the shedding of the blood. And we have peace through the blood of his cross. We have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. When the Lord Jesus and his disciples crossed over Galilee to the land of Gadarenes, we've already said, they encountered a great storm. So that the waters covered the vessel. And the disciples were afraid. And they couldn't believe it that when they went to the hinder part of the ship, there lying fast asleep on the pillow was the Master. They were sore afraid. They thought they were going to perish. And yet the Lord was fast asleep. You see, that's the peace of God. And that's why the disciples couldn't understand it. That's the peace of God. God was at peace in that vessel. And my, when the child of God has that peace in his or her heart, the world cannot understand it. When the storms of life are raging around us, and we're able to stand and face the storm, we're able to stand and face the gale, that's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The world cannot understand that peace. Remember what the Lord said to those who were troubled? He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's what Legion had that day. He had rest. The Lord had given them rest. It's the rest that they godly do not have. Revelation 14, verse 11, we have these words concerning those who are in a lost eternity. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night. The word rest in Revelation 14:11 is the same word that we find in Matthew 11 in the words of the Lord Jesus, I will give you rest. The same word. And souls in the lost eternity are tormented day and night. They don't have the rest. They refused, they rejected the rest that Christ offered them in their lifetime. They refused that rest. And now they're in the lost eternity. And they have no rest. Day or night. They never will. Because of many opportunities that were given to them to receive that rest, they reject it. Now they have no rest. Or the word rest means relief. The rich man had no relief. He was tormented in the flame. There was no relief. No relief for those who die without Christ. So we have that position of rest. He was sitting. We also have his position of respect. He was sitting. But where was he sitting? Luke chapter 8, verse 35 tells us he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. My, what a change. He wasn't just sitting anywhere. He wasn't sitting with the disciples. He wasn't sitting at the feet of Peter or the feet of John or Andrew. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, the one who had healed him, the one who had delivered him. He was sitting there like a trophy that had been won in battle. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, sitting at the feet of the great victor. Legion was his trophy. And my, what a trophy. He was a trophy of grace. Like you and I are trophies of grace. What the Lord has done for us, believer, no one else could do. Only Christ is able to break the power of canceled sin and set the prisoner free. Only Christ could do that. And so we see this man sitting at the feet of Jesus. Notice his lowliness. When on the Isle of Patmos, John was given a view, a revelation of the Lord Jesus. We're told in Revelation 1, verse 17, when I saw him, I fell. When John saw the Son of Man, when John saw in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, John knew there was only one place for him. That was down at the Savior's feet. And believer, that's the only place for us. Down at the Savior's feet. place of lowliness, the place of humility. Legion had been humbled in his own heart by what the Lord had done for him. Believer, when we consider what the Lord has done for us, there's no room for pride. There's no room for self-centeredness. There's no room for self-satisfaction. There's no reason for us to be puffed up. Because our place is at the feet of Christ. The lowest heart of Christ is his feet. And that's our place. That's our place down at the feet of the Savior. I want you to turn, please, to Matthew chapter 8. And here's Matthew's account. The deliverance of this man from Gadara. Recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I want you to notice verse 34, the last verse of the chapter 8 of Matthew. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Saw legion sitting at the feet of Christ. But look at how Matthew records it. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, who did they see? Christ. When they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their courts. What does this teach us? It teaches us that legion, in taking up that position at the feet of Christ, when the people come out of the city, their eyes were fixed upon Christ. When they saw him, that's the way it should be. And believer, when we adopt that humble position, when we take up that position at the feet of the Lord Jesus, people will have no time to look at us. They'll be taken up with him. Christian that leads the humble life, living at the feet, sitting at the feet of Christ, that life will exalt Christ. And people will see him. Not only did legion adopt the place of lowliness, but also the position of love. The fact that legion sat at the Master's feet was an indication of how much legion loved the Lord. No wonder. Poor soul. Tormented day and night. No home. No family. No friends. No one to help. His only abode was a grave. Until Jesus came. And delivered him. No wonder he loved him. Turn to Luke chapter 7. There we read about the woman who was a sinner. No, it wasn't Mary. We don't want to get mixed up and think this woman here was the woman who elsewhere we read that anointed the Lord. The number of women, I believe three different women anointed the Lord. But here is this one. Woman, a woman of the city. who was a sinner. And she knew that Jesus sat at meat, verse 37 of Luke 7, in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And she's at the feet of Christ, sitting at meat. The Lord would have been lounging on a couch. That's how they would sit at meat in Bible lands. They would lounge at the table. She didn't stand at the head. She stood at the Savior's feet. And she stood there weeping. Why was she weeping? The Lord tells us. Verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth. This woman, scarlet woman of the city, had been forgiven much. And because she had been forgiven much, she loved much. And because she loved much, she knew there was only one place for her, and that was at the Savior's feet. Do we not love the Lord today? Turn to John 12. Gospel of John chapter 12. And we have the Lord being anointed again. This time we know for sure the identity of the woman who anointed him. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, John 12 and verse 1, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed his feet. Anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And I have no doubt that Mary did this out of love. Because who was sitting at meat with her? Who was sitting at meat? None other than her brother. The brother who had been dead. And the brother whom Christ raised from the dead. Can you imagine the love that was in the heart of Mary for the Master? The Lord Jesus had raised her brother from the grave. No doubt, she was saying in her own heart, "Oh, how I love him for what he has done for me." And there's only one place for me, and that is that must be our place today. Isaiah 52 verse 7, we read, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Everywhere the Lord Jesus went, everywhere his feet took him, he brought good tidings. He brought the gospel. And he brought the gospel of peace. And wherever he went, he brought good tidings. And everywhere where he went, he brought peace. No wonder then Legion was found sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because when the Lord crossed over the Sea of Galilee and entered the land of Gadara, those feet brought to Legion good tidings. brought to Legion Peace. Do we not love the feet of the one who brought the gospel to you and me? It's brought about our salvation. The place at the Master's feet will also speak to us of learning, place of learning. I say learning because it was Mary who chose the better part when the Lord Jesus was in her home. There was Martha serving. There was Martha cumbered about much serving. But Mary took time to sit at the Master's feet, sitting at His feet, hearing His. She was in the place of learning. She was being taught. She was sitting at the feet of her heavenly teacher. Do you ever wonder what word the Lord gave Mary that day? We don't know. Martha probably didn't know. She was cumbered about much serving. But Mary received a word from the Lord that day. And it was a word just for her. Believer, that's where we often find the word from the Lord that's just for us. When we sit at His feet. It's then we get a word from. It's there that we learn more about the Lord through His Word. Let us then be found at the seat of learning and the seat of love and the seat of lowliness. It's also the place of resignation. For we see that Legion is here sitting at the feet of Christ. Speaks to me of resignation. He's just simply sitting there at the feet of the Lord, waiting to see what the Lord would do, and waiting to find out what the Lord would have him do. When the time came to know what to do, we see that Legion was ready to do. Verses 18 to 20. There we read that Legion wanted to go with the Lord. He wanted to be with Him. But the Lord said in verse 19, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. That word done is an interesting word. The word done means a finished work, a complete work, a permanent work. In other words, what the Lord had done for Legion was a complete work. He has been permanently healed, permanently delivered. Demons will never enter into Legion again. Praise the Lord. And the people today who talk about believers being possessed of a devil, they don't know what they're talking about. And they talk about Christians need to be delivered of demons. They don't know what they're talking about. I tell you, when a man is saved by the grace of God and God delivers him, devil has to move out when Christ moves in. When Christ moves in, the devil will never be back again. And this is what the Lord told Legion to go and tell his friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done. Tell them how I have done a lasting work in your life. There was Legion sitting, waiting for the Lord to tell him what to do. Believer, we need to sit at the feet of Christ in the place of resurrection, waiting for the Lord to tell us what to do. We must press on quickly, and we have the man and the supplying of his mantle. Because we are told that when the people from the city come out, they saw a man sitting and clothed. Sitting and clothed. The word clothed there means dressed. Sitting and dressed. We notice first of all the purpose. It's not too difficult to know the reason for the man being clothed, to cover his nakedness. For we read in Luke chapter 8, verse 27, that this man had devils long time and wear no clothes. It's the work of the devil. Man soon loses his self-respect. Under the influence of the devil. Nakedness, of course, is associated with sin and shame. The sin and shame of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned, they felt the shame of their nakedness, so something had to be done. Their sin had to be covered. Their nakedness had to be covered. Their shame had to be covered. And that's when the Lord stepped in. We read in Genesis 3, verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Just like Legion. Here's Legion in his clothes now. Nakedness and the shame belong to his old life. He has met the Savior. There's a change now. Now he's clothed. In order to clothe our first parents of their sin and their shame, the Lord took two animals, killed those animals, shed their blood, clothed their first parents with coats of skins. So for Adam and Eve to have their sin covered and their shame covered, blood had to be shed. For your sin and mine to be covered, the blood that was shed was the blood of the Lamb of God. You'll note in that verse 21 in Genesis 3, the word clothed. It's the word atonement. It's the same word for atonement. And here in Genesis 3, when the Lord clothed our first parents, and in the act of clothing them, he points us away to Calvary. Here it is, away in the third chapter of Genesis. Because it was there at that place called Calvary, through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been clothed. Clothed. And now our sins are hidden. Never to be remembered against us anymore. Forever. Bless the Lord. It was the purpose. But then the provision. We're told that they came and saw him sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now, if Legion had been possessed of devils a long time, and for a long time he wear no clothes, Where then did he get this garment from? Where did this item of clothing come from? He didn't have any clothes of his own. So where did the clothing come from? You take the word clothed. It's the same word that is used to describe someone else's clothing. Like in the turn, please, to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture, it's the same word, upon my vesture did they cast lots. That vesture that John describes in John 19, verse 23, that coat was without seam woven from the top throughout. That's why the soldiers didn't want to tear up the garment. They gambled for that one seamless garment. And now it's the same word that is used with reference to the clothing that Legion wore. It's the same word that is used in Luke chapter 9, where in the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord Jesus was transfigured before the disciples. And the garment that he was wearing became white and glistening. Same word. Now, if it's the same word, and it is, could it then not be the same garment? Perhaps that day as the Lord Jesus delivered this man of this legion of demons, and there he was naked, he had been that way for a long time, the Lord gave him his garment. And there's Legion sitting at the feet of Jesus wearing the garment. Possible. But I know what? Something that is definite. I know that today Christ has given us His garment. He has given us the beautiful robe of His righteousness. Today we stand complete in Him, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. What does the Father see now? Does He see our sin? Does He see our shame? Does He see our nakedness? No, He sees the garment. We are clothed. Sees the righteousness of His Son. That's the garment we wear today. His righteousness imputed to us and received by faith. Therefore, believer, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're dressed like Legion. And lastly, I'll just give you the points. We have the man and the soundness of his mind. For they saw a man sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. He had a change of mind. The mind that he had now as he sat at the feet of Jesus was that mind that Paul spoke about in Romans 12 and 2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Legion had been transformed. by the renewing of his mind, the words there, he was in his right mind, simply mean he was of a sound mind. We've said before that whenever someone gets saved and becomes a Christian, the world says to them, you must be out of your mind. You must be out of your mind. Not a bit of it. When Legion became a Christian, we're told that he was sitting and he was in his right mind. A man that receives Christ is a man that's in his right mind. The Lord has changed his mind. The carnal mind, enmity against God. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, Legion had life and peace, and he was spiritually minded. He had a contented mind. Sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, the Lord had given him peace of mind. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. He's contented. He has a right mind. I know someone else has a right mind. The Lord Jesus. Everything about the mind of Christ is right. What did Paul say to the Philippians? Let this mind be in you as it is in Christ. Legion had a Christ-like mind. That's the mind we ought to have. May the Lord give us a Christ-like mind. May the Lord bring us to that place at his feet. That place of love. Love the Lord today more than we've ever loved him before because of all that he has done for us. He was sitting, he was closed, he was in his right mind. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The most gracious, loving God and eternal Father, we thank thee for what thy Son did in the life of this man of Gadara. We thank thee, Lord, today what thou hast done in the lives of each one of us. We praise thee, Lord, thou hast clothed us, covered our sin, our shame, our nakedness. We're glad today we're clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Oh, how we love thee, because Lord, thou dost first love us. And we thank thee for coming into this world and going through the storm of Calvary to rescue our souls. May we sit at thy feet so that no man might be seen save Jesus only. Lord, write the word in our hearts. May we take encouragement from it. And be with us now as we leave the house of God. Keep thy hand upon all who travel a distance. And in thy will, Lord, return us to this house of worship this evening. Once again, to meet afresh with the Savior. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.